T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Batter up. We're in for the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long hanging out with you for one more hour talking about the LSU Tigers' victory over Tulane 7-2, putting LSU now into the winner's bracket of the Baton Rouge Regional. We're going to have Cokie Riley coming up shortly, LSU reporter for USA Today Sports South Region with the Daily Advertiser. He was at the box today, so we'll get more of a scene setter than all the stats that we've been talking about going on with this game, but definitely interested to hear his take of, I don't know, what he feels about the LSU Tigers going with Paul Skeens as the starting pitcher. And looking at the talk and text line, it is 0394 saying, throwing the cheese today was no brainer. The first round win was key. Also, they didn't exactly run over Tulane, which is true too.
Yeah, I mean, they could have won that game 12-0. There was possibilities there. They didn't really, like, you know, bash their head into the curb, but
yeah,
they
exactly.
Got the job done.
They didn't curb stop them, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, good.
But yeah, with the Skeens move, the biggest thing to me, and we've talked about it too, was obviously, one, you got the win, and two, he ate up 9 innings. You didn't have to use any of your bullpen, which now remains fresh for tomorrow and obviously the next games.
Yeah. I feel like we've talked this to death. I mean, tomorrow you're going to see them start a pitcher that they expect to win a game. And it's not going to be Paul Skeens, and that's okay.
Oh, I'm excited, actually, heading up to the Alec Box Stadium, and have never gotten to see a game in Alec Box. So I'm unfortunately... my little guy is going to be at a birthday party, so he's not going to be in attendance. It's just a big guy's trip.
Yeah, get rid of him. Get rid of him. Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun atmosphere. I mean, it's been, what, 4 years? I think 2019 was the last regional at Alec Box Stadium, and that was, like, pre-COVID, so it was a different, you know, lifetime. So much has changed since that happened. Because, you know, they were, I think, Corvallis. I always mix up. I think the most recent regional – when they went out to the West Coast was Eugene.
That
played Oregon,
right. Yeah.
And they have gone out to Corvallis to play Oregon State as well.
Right.
And that's why I mix them up in my head. But yeah, Eugene, you know, that was Paul Mainieri's last ride. They won that.
I just remember that's when, obviously, you just started with us, and it was like you got thrown
like my sixth day.
Right into the burning fire of, oh, I get to stay up for these late West Coast games.
Starting at 9:30 p.m.
Which I always can't stand, obviously. The NBA is the worst for me when it's like, at least those games go by quicker than a baseball game.
No one needs to be watching baseball at 1 a.m. It's just not a thing that you need in your life.
No, and then obviously your job's not done then. You have to write up a whole post-game report on it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Bad memories. Sorry. At least, the tomorrow's game will be an 8 o'clock start in Alec Box Stadium. We'll have to wait to see who LSU will be facing in the matchup. And Tulane versus whoever is the earlier game that day. I think that's a 2 o'clock start there, similar to, obviously, today's whole layout.
I'm going to guess Sam Houston wins. It's my prediction. I have no reason to think that other than I enjoy saying Sam Houston. Sounds like a country singer. so that would put Tulane, Oregon State. That's my guess. I think Tulane – that's what we were saying. Again, I think Tulane is better than people give him credit for. I would not be surprised if Tulane goes out tomorrow and wins that loser's bracket game. And there's a potential rematch. I don't think that Sam Houston and Oregon State are that far above Tulane in this whole pecking order.
Yeah, that would be something to see. Obviously, the way of get back into things, and you have to face them again. But this LSU team, man, I'm still waiting too for them to kind of get back to that murderer's row of slugging that they had going on earlier in the season. The production today was all right, but I felt like this team was, you know, you'd blink and they were putting up 4 or 5 runs an inning, and we just haven't seen that recently from them. And I think that I'm not obviously concerned as that was for the bullpen, but the lineup really needs to get firing a lot better, especially with runners in scoring position.
Yeah. I think the pitcher they faced today, it was more of a, I don't know, it just, he avoids the barrel of the bat. You know, he's one of those guys, he pitches to contact, but he pitches to weak contact. And they did a good job of putting the ball where it needed to go. So I'm not as concerned. And obviously Hoover, it plays, I think, you know, Palminteri would say it plays like the Grand Canyon, right? It's like this is massive park. So I don't know. I think they'll be just fine. But yeah, the power numbers have been down from what we saw earlier in the year, and maybe there's more of a book on some of these guys than there was earlier in the year. I don't know. Playing in the SEC doesn't help. So we'll see. But
I guess this is my question to both of you then. Like, would you rather see Sam Houston or Oregon State? You have Sam Houston that you've already smoked earlier in the year, but that is obviously months ago at this point. And then you have Oregon State that's got a really banged up pitching staff. I mean, they're both throwing their aces tonight to get to that 1-0 match versus LSU. Like, who would you rather see?
Yeah, I guess for me, since they're throwing basically their third starter in a sense tonight, I guess I'd rather see Oregon State, since you know their arms are going to probably be more taxed going into this game tomorrow. But for Sam Houston, you're right. It's like, I don't know what to say there either. They faced them earlier in the season and took care of them easily. We'll make a note, too, about the Tulane pitcher, Karamuch, was a lefty, and those lefties seem to be give the LSU lineup some issues, too.
He was a weird lefty, though. He's better against righties than lefties. That was an interesting – like, they took him out in a lefty-lefty matchup to put a right-hander.
Right, you never see that.
It was very strange. But I guess, you know, there's, I don't know, something about his mechanics. He works better against righties than lefties.
We'll get more of a feel of what it was like in Alec Box Stadium today. When we get back from the break, we're going to be talking to Cokie Riley from The Advertiser. Give us more of a breakdown of the LSU victory over Tulane. And like I said, that whole atmosphere in Alec Box Stadium, and if it was rocking. Back with more after this on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long hanging out with you. Welcoming in now to Cokie Riley, LSU reporter for US Today Sports South Region with the Daily Advertiser. And Cokie, how was the whole atmosphere at Alec Box Stadium today?
It was a pretty good atmosphere, especially when you consider, again, thanks for having me on again, guys.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah, today's, yeah, absolutely. But for the, I guess just for the atmosphere, it was pretty good considering it was at 2 o'clock on a Friday. Like Friday's technically the weekend, but it's also a work day. So, yeah, really good environment considering that, and considering it was, I think, 93 degrees at first pitch. So, yeah, the boxes are pretty pumped up, but I think they're going to be more pumped up tomorrow night when you get, you know, Saturday night in Baton Rouge. So, yep.
Yeah, nice to see postseason baseball in Baton Rouge again. It's been too long. obviously the elephant in the room, everyone's talking about it. Paul Skeens pitched against a 19-42 Tulane baseball team. I think Jay Johnson didn't really answer it per se. He kind of answered it without answering it. What was your read on the situation? It sounded from what he said like he wasn't really that big of a decision in terms of they kind of felt like this was the way to go all along.
Yeah, he said it wasn't a tough decision overall, and I think a lot of that has to do with – he didn't really get into the specifics, like you said, but I think a lot of that has to do with just saving up arms, saving up the bullpen, saving up just arms in general because, I mean, this was sort of a tack that he used in the SEC tournament, right? Like stretching pitchers a little bit further, trying to squeeze every last ounce out of every last guy. Thatcher Hurd throwing 100 pitches in the first game of the SEC tournament. Nate Atkins hasn't thrown a season-high amount of pitches in relief of him, just for example, like it pushing Ty Floyd a little bit more, even with the regional the next weekend, right? I think in these tournament situations when you can play when there's a chance of playing four games in 4 days, when you're in those sort of situations, you want to use as many pitchers, you want to, you know, use every bit of every guy you have on the mound. And I think that's sort of his strategy. And, you know, just saving up, really, to simplify it, just saving up the bullpen in general, not using too many arms. I think that's a big key for him. And we definitely saw it today because not a single reliever threw, and Skeens just went the full distance. So, yeah.
Looking at the performance from the lineup today, there was obviously some missed opportunities for this Tiger team. Is there any concern from you? Because it seems like that potent offense that we've been seeing so much in the beginning of the season just really hasn't been there as much down the stretch. And like I said, they didn't seem to capitalize on enough of their opportunities today.
I thought they did a reasonably decent job of getting guys in and when they had those opportunities. Today was just a lot of small ball, a lot of emphasis on small ball. I think they went back-to-back innings when they had runners on first and second and nobody else, and they just bunted just to move the runner along. You know, I don't love that. I talked about this last week on your show, but right. I don't love that philosophically in general. But, I mean, I hate to say it, but it did get the job done. They scored runs in both those innings, so yeah, like they kind of got on top of Tulane early, and it wasn't a very explosive day. And it is a little odd that they didn't have any big innings. They didn't have any home runs in this game. But, I mean, I don't think they were terrible either. It wasn't a 3-for-20 sort of day like they had in the SEC to finish off the SEC tournament against A&M. So,
yeah, I guess I don't.
Yeah, I think overall. I don't know
if looking at it as they didn't go yard today as a positive or a negative and still putting up 7 runs, I guess.
Yeah. Like, they got the job done.
Right.
That's kind of how I looked at this whole day. It was a very business-like game. The game was never really in doubt. Skeens did give up the 2-run home run, but I don't want to say it felt flukish, but it didn't feel like he was going to give up much else if he was going to stay in the game. Yeah, like when you had Skeens just mowing down 2-lane hitters like he was and giving up a few hits here and there, but still, you know, being as dominant as you can pretty much be at this point of the year as a starting pitcher, you just need your offense to get the job done, and they got the job done. It just wasn't in the way that we're used to seeing this team do things. And I wouldn't say it's worrying, but I think the real test really for this team is tomorrow, regardless of who they play, whether it's Sam Houston or Oregon State. If it's Sam Houston, then that means that team's on the rise. If it's Oregon State, they're playing a pretty talented Pac-12 team that was second, that finished the year second in the conference. It's tomorrow's going to be the real test. Like, if they have trouble with hitting runners in scoring position tomorrow, or they're playing a lot of small ball tomorrow because they don't have the confidence to, you know, drill doubles and home runs and triples and big singles and big spots, then I think that's when it becomes more of a concern. But I wouldn't look too much into it today. I just think that when guys were at second and third base, they generally did a pretty good job of getting them in, even if it was of the small ball variety. And obviously Skeens just shut things down the mound, and it was just a pretty straightforward win for LSU overall.
Did it seem like that might have been an emphasis, just because after what happened to Texas A&M with a 3-for-20 with runners in scoring position, that maybe they emphasized that a bit more in this game, just to kind of get on the right track of like, okay, we can do this. We can do this multiple ways. We can pound you out of the park, or we can just small ball you to death.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I asked Dylan that and after the game, and he said that was an emphasis in practice this week. Just Dylan Cruz, that is. That was an emphasis for them in practice this week. Just small ball, getting guys over, putting in their bunts, you know, making sure they get contact with the runners in scoring position, whether it's a fly ball or a ground ball, just not striking out in those situations. And I can certainly understand that. And given the struggles that they've had, like, you do need to put the ball in play in some of these scenarios, especially like if there's a run at third and less than two outs, right? Like really simple stuff like that. But I think this team is talented enough overall, and especially good enough when it comes to their power, to not rely on that sort of small ball approach, because I just think it kind of cuts off potential opportunities to score even more runs. And I think that happened a little bit today, to be honest, even though I understand what they were doing, and at least they could like prove to themselves that they can play small ball. I guess if you want to take a positive from that, that could be one. But overall, like, yeah, I don't know if this small ball approach is the most sustainable way. But if they really feel like this is the only way they're going to score runs with runners in scoring position consistently, which I don't know if I totally agree with that, then that's what they're going to do.
Cookie, I want to get your thoughts on who LSU should want to play in this next game, whether that be Oregon State or Sam Houston, an Oregon State team that's coming in with a lot of pitching injuries. They don't have two starters. They're going to be using a lot of their bullpen, potentially even in this game, because as I'm seeing right now, Oregon State 4-2, a lot of runs scored in that first inning. It's only in the top of the second. Or Sam Houston, a team that you already beat this year, but that was so early in the year, it's a completely different team at this point. I just want to get your thoughts on who you think LSU should rather play, whether that be Sam Houston or Oregon State.
I think you still – I understand Oregon State has some of the pitching injuries, but I think you still rather play Sam Houston. Sam Houston's got a really good offense, but their pitching's not very good, and they only scored 4 runs off of you when you started a freshman and back when they played against them. Just to give some extra context, Chase Shores started that game, and they won 16-4. They didn't just win, they destroyed them. So – I would have trouble seeing how Sam Houston's going to contain LSU's bats in a theoretical game against them. Well, look at Oregon State, and I think there's definitely a path for Oregon State to give whoever LSU throws trouble. They're a quality Power 5 team that, you know, had a chance to host a regional if they'd finished off the year a little bit stronger. So I don't know. I just feel like the Beavers, there's a higher ceiling for them. Even, and plus, like, yeah, they're going to be relying on their bullpen more, but that's also the strength of their team. Like, they have a very good bullpen. Starting pitching was kind of a little bit thorny for them all year, and it was really the bullpen that really helped them throughout this entire season. And yeah, their lineup isn't amazing, but there's still enough there that it's. They could hit around LSU if they were, you know, playing reasonably well. So I would say you'd still rather play Sam Houston.
Paul Skeens today, obviously stellar stuff on the mound. Was a treat to see him go that 9 innings, give the bullpen a break. But now who's got to follow that up, you think, tomorrow? Is it going to be Ty Floyd, or do we see a Thatcher Hurd?
I would be surprised if it isn't Ty Floyd. It just makes sense to just go with the Saturday starter on a Saturday, especially when it's this big of a game. You know, how much of a benefit it is to win this game, so you don't have to win. You don't have to play a doubleheader tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but, you know what I mean, by tomorrow, right? The Sunday. And then by winning those two games, it just gives you the right to play on a Monday, right? Yeah. So if you win this game, then the max is you only play 2 more games, max, and then you can even finish it out and just play 3 games. But finish out the series in the regional on Sunday. So I think ideally that's what you want to do. Even though LSU did that last year and they still didn't get out of regional, it's still the better spot you want to be in. You know, and this team, as much as we criticize their starting pitching, still has more starting pitching than last year's team. So I think you can sort of lean on that more and Now, I mean, Thatcher Hurd was warming up in this game, which was surprising to me. Didn't really get a chance to ask Jay about that, but I would be surprised if, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. So I wouldn't be shocked if he came in relief, actually, because of that, just from what I saw today. But again, if that were me, though, I would throw him on Sunday, whether you win or lose the Saturday game, and I'd throw Ty Floyd on Saturday.
Was it Ackenhausen also warming? I know there was a second pitcher warming up.
Yeah.
It was Ackenhausen.
Yeah, Ackenhausen was also warming up. So it was righty-lefty, which obviously makes sense.
Right.
And, you know, just to be prepared, just to have options out there. But they even have Hurd warming up is really interesting because, you know, he pitched so well as a starter the last time out, and you have other righties that you can go to, I got someone like Gavin Guidry, especially comes to mind there. So, that's kind of what I think.
One of the theories, and I think this is probably inaccurate, of why they decided to pitch Paul Skenes today is, okay, well, maybe if this series, or if the regional does get to a Monday, you could potentially see him on short rest. Did Jay Johnson talk about that at all today?
Yeah, he pretty much shot down the idea again, especially today, he shot down that idea of just, like, you know, throwing Skenes twice in the same weekend. I think he's just going to throw out once a week. And, you know, you obviously want to win these games. And it's obviously Jay Johnson wants to win these games more than the world. Right. But college baseball is also a developmental league. It's a developmental sport. So you don't want to, like, ruin this kid when he's pitching this well and cost him millions and millions of dollars down the road because, you know, you just wanted to eke out one more win. In the NCAA regional. So I never thought that was a likely possibility, but it was an idea that sort of bandied around in my head if they played on Monday and, you know, he didn't throw that many pitches on a Friday and maybe you could throw him on that Monday, but yeah, and have it act as like his bullpen day because you throw once in the middle of the week just to keep your arm warm. Right. So why don't you just the major leagues do this all the time. Like, why don't you just do that in a real game, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Cookie, the idea of throwing Thatcher in relief, I think it's actually kind of interesting because everyone kind of just anticipated him of being that third starter for this weekend. If you do throw Ty Floyd tomorrow, I don't think anyone's anticipating him to go much further than maybe 6 or 7 innings if he gets a great start, right? But if you do throw Hurd out of the bullpen following Floyd, who would you – I mean, and I understand the importance of getting to 2-0. Trust me, it's super important to go up 2-0 and send that other team into the loser's bracket, make them have to play an extra game to get back and play you again. But in that situation, who would you throw on Sunday if you do, in fact, use Hurd out of the bullpen?
Yeah, I think what could happen is, as you said, Floyd – again, this is all theoretical. Floyd starting tomorrow – and then Hurd coming in relief, even if it is like in the fifth inning and say Floyd doesn't go that long, right? Because, you know, Hurd has length. He threw 100 pitches last time he was out there. So that's kind of the benefit of kind of having those guys go back-to-back and you save everybody else and only use 3 pitchers in 2 games. Like, that could very well happen. And that's not a terrible line of thinking, especially if you win those first 2 games. So my guess is it would probably be someone like Javon Coleman. And I say Javon Coleman not because I think he's the best option out of the bullpen and the best option as a starter, as a third starter, without not including Hurd. I just feel like, you know, given that he's coming off the Tommy John surgery, I think him just getting that extra, those extra warm-ups in and just getting his body ready to start, I think that could – he's not going to go that long if he does start, but I think that just sort of optimizes what you can get out of a guy like him, right? So – and I think that's part of the reason why they started, you know, starting him toward the very end of the season, just before the SEC tournament. So, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if it was Javon Coleman. Who would I pick? Ooh.
Well, I think it's an
honestly
interesting point.
I don't know.
Because, like, you saw a couple of those relief pitchers in the SEC tournament have long extended outings with Nate Ackenhausen, and then I'm just totally blanking on the second one, guys. Who is the one that also threw like 3 innings in the
Cooper?
Second game? Riley Cooper, thank you. Or he threw
close
to 5 innings. So you saw a lot of, you know, usage out of those guys out of the bullpen. So maybe you do throw just a, like, if you do in fact throw Floyd and Hurd in a potential winner's match versus Oregon State or Sam Houston, you have all these bullpen arms that you can just go at length, maybe a couple innings out of each of these guys and see what happens, because you do have two games to pick up. One.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe having a starter isn't quite as important in that third game, because you still have Riley Cooper and Nate Ackenhausen who you can throw, right? And you just need someone who can be a decent opener and get through the first turn of the order. And they don't really have anyone outside of Hurd who can be the number three starter and get through the order more than one and a half times, more than twice, I'd say. So you're kind of just looking for a decent opener option, right? And Coleman is a decent option for that. I just feel a little bit better, I guess, with him just being that guy and then going to someone like Cooper or someone like Ackenhausen after him. And if it's a righty, then Guidry. And you actually do have some decent options. The more you really think about it, it's not perfect. It's not great. Like, it's not going to be this bullpen will pretty much never be the strength of the team. But given some of the better performances we saw last week, like, there's at least a little bit more hope there.
Yeah, so going into this regional, I don't know if maybe I'm imagining this, but it does seem like Jay Johnson is a little more locked in, I think is a fair way to put it, this year in terms of, like, okay, you ask him a question, he'll be like, yep. And then that kind of like, oh, okay, you're not going to elaborate. All right. And I do wonder, you know, like last year, that the way they bowed out of that regional after getting into the winner's bracket and losing back-to-back games to Southern Miss, you know, that's brutal, especially for a first-year head coach who feels like, man, we're going to get to a super regional. We got this. And all of a sudden, the bottom falls out. This year with Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens, you're a coach with the top two picks in the draft. Pretty much, you know, I don't know if guaranteed is the word, but there's a consensus that that's the case. Is there added pressure? There has to be added pressure for a coach just to get out of that regional, especially you're hosting. I'm just curious, how have you seen him kind of react to that? How has he been any different this year compared to last year in that regard?
I remember very vividly last year asking him, you know, what are you going to do to basically what I said, what I asked was like, what are you going to do to fix the pitching situation that you have? And I remember him never listening to him trying to like toe the line between saying, yeah, we have to get better reinforcements there and get a lot better, but also try not to like throw his guys underneath the bus.
Right.
And I say that because ever since that moment, it's kind of been his mission to fix this pitching problem, right? He went out and I think what he said is that he went out and like contacted Paul Skeens like immediately after that loss and like the day after or something like that, and really just started like diving in on adding these dudes in the portal and securing as many arms as he could from the high school ranks so they wouldn't sign the draft and all that sort of stuff, and just rebuilding this entire staff. And now that they have this roster, even with some of these injuries, they don't really have that excuse. Like, I mean, last year they kind of had the excuse of, well, your ace was Mikhail Hilliard, and no offense to Mikhail Hilliard, he's, right. He should be an ace if you want to get out of a regional, let alone a super regional. So, you know, you did what you could do. But now with this team and this roster, I mean, I would be surprised if there isn't at least more pressure that he puts on himself, even if he isn't, like, you know, listening to folks like us talk about whether he should feel it or not, right? So, that's pretty much what I got, because, like, how could you not be putting more pressure, at least on yourself, you know, when you've gone out and worked tirelessly to add all this talent and more talent than really anyone else in the country over one off season, and just sort of transform this thing and turn them into the number one team for most of the year. So, the pressure's on him, and I think most of it's put on himself. It's him putting it on himself, but it's still there regardless.
Talking to Cokie Riley. You can check out the Daily Advertiser. And tomorrow night, we actually have a WWL Guys Fest going up to Alec Box Stadium.
Don't call it that.
To see the matchup. Unfortunately, we had planned on seeing Paul Skeens, but we'll take this game, obviously. My question to you is, obviously, being a guy who's been around the box a ton, this is going to be my first visit. I'm going to be a virgin to the area there. What should I be taking in either around the stadium or at the concession stand?
I'm not quite as familiar with the concession stands just because they usually have food up in the press box. They did give us, like, meal tickets so for this series that they did use today, and there's, like, a burger stand that's pretty decent on the third baseline. And so if you really want food and you don't want a hot dog, then that's a decent place to go. Just for, like, what you should try to take in from this experience, I mean, Alex Box Stadium is a decent stadium. It's not like the nicest. It's not, you know, you're not walking into Fenway Park, you know, it's not, it doesn't quite have that aura. It doesn't quite have that vibe, but it, what makes the place special is the fans. And I know that sounds super cliche and I sound like a homer by saying that, but like, regardless, like it, when that place is rocking, it is, it's, I mean, it's hard to find anywhere else in college baseball where there is anything like that in terms of an environment, in terms of, you know, stakes. And you it's like when the place is rocking, it is really, really a special place. And you didn't really get that as much today just because I think everyone sort of thought that they were going to beat the Tulane team pretty easily. But I mean, I think we're going to get that environment tomorrow.
Let's go.
Given that it's a night game on the weekend. It's,
we'll be a little cooler too.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a little bit cooler too. Like those bleacher seats out there, people won't be, you know, like frying like hot dogs out there. So it's going to be an incredible environment, and I hope it at least comes close to what we saw in the Tennessee series, where the place was just like insane bonkers. And it was one of the best sports environments I've ever been to be honest. It was just unbelievable. They sold out the place. Over 13,000 people were there. I would expect probably something similar in this game, especially if like a team like, especially if Oregon State wins, just because you sort of, because there's been that history between LSU and Oregon State, and the history of Oregon State just being such a good program for so many years. So, I'm very, very excited tomorrow, and you guys should be too.
Well, definitely hoping that we get to run into you. I owe you a cold beverage if I do.
I would take it for sure.
I appreciate the time, and hopefully talk to you tomorrow, Cokie.
Awesome. Looking forward to tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. That's Cokie Riley, LSU reporter for USA Today Sports South Region with the Daily Advertiser. Taking a break here on WWL. We'll be right back. Game two at the Baton Rouge Regional underway. The Oregon State Beavers up 4-2 over the Sam Houston Bearcats. We'll be keeping an eye on that one, obviously, to see who the Tigers end up taking on tomorrow. We'll have pregame coverage 7:30 on WWL. First pitch at 8 o'clock. WWLAMFM.com, and of course the free Odyssey app. We've been talking a whole lot of LSU baseball and what's going around, obviously, in the regionals. We do have Saints football still on the brain, though. We wrapped up second week of organized team activities on Tuesday, and we'll get one last session of the voluntary session workouts this coming Tuesday. Yeah, and then that comes into mandatory minicamp. And I think it's funny, Jeff, including our very own Cajun Cannon, a lot of people bent out of shape about Michael Thomas not being around for these voluntary workouts. And I love what you said. Well, if you're going to be mad at Mike, there's another list of other players that weren't there either that you should be ticked off at too.
I mean, all I'll say is, like, if you're going to be mad at Mike for not being there, you have to be mad at everybody for not being there. Like, give me that same energy for Ryan Ramczyk, right? Give me that same energy for Marshawn Lattimore. These guys are never there. And no one ever complains, but for some reason, because Mike Thomas isn't there, we all get bent out of shape about it. And I've been going back and forth with people on YouTube and all this, and because that's how I spend my time.
Are you fighting with trolls online or no?
Yeah. What else am I going to do all day? It's like practicing.
I'm sure your new wife loves that.
It's like rehearsing for this game. Well, she's probably one of the trolls. I don't know. But, you know, and it's like, I was talking to somebody and they're like, because Mike hasn't been on the field for 3 years and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but that's my point, is you move the goalpost for Mike for some reason. It's like, so if he goes out and plays 14 games and he's fantastic, suddenly oh, we're not going to be mad that he's not at OTAs next year if he's still on the team. No, you're still going to be mad because for some reason, Mike gets treated differently than Ryan Ramczyk, from Marshawn Lattimore, from Alvin Kamara. All these guys are not at OTAs, but oh, we only ever talk about Mike. As if Mike has some sort of extra responsibility to this team because he got paid on a big contract. Which, you know, who else got paid in a big contract? Alvin Kamara, Marshawn Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk. Why are we only mad at Mike? Because he's in Malibu recovering from surgery? I don't know. I'd rather be in Malibu too.
I think the ire and the angst is more of because of his unavailability, obviously, during
exactly.
the regular season and dealing with the injuries. And I think when folks heard Dennis Allen say, you know, the hardware was removed from his foot, they expected him to be in the building nonstop.
Like he's got a bionic foot now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if
anything, that's more reason that he wouldn't be there because he can't participate even if he is there. So why would he fly? Like the thing, like, and I get it. People are going to know, well, why doesn't he live here? I don't know. That's not part of his job to have his full-time residence here. I don't know. I think that's kind of a lame take.
Mike, if you need a place to stay, give me a call.
I'm sure
you know?
He has a place to stay. But I don't know. Like, they're voluntary. Like, I'm worried about the people who are there. That's what the coaches will say. Like, they're coaching the people who are there. And why are we worried about the people who aren't there?
We've talked about it on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. You can go check it out there. And with Mike, you know, when he doesn't show up for, if he doesn't show up, I'll say, mandatory minicamp time,
then we can
start getting concerned. We'll be back with more Sports Talk after this on WWL. Closing things out here on Sports Talk, a big bottom of the third inning for the Oregon State Beavers. Now up 8-2, gentlemen, over Oregon State.
Wow.
Over Sam Houston State, sorry.
So my country music prediction didn't pan out?
No, sorry.
Darn.
Well, there's still time come back, but
yeah.
We might be seeing the Oregon State Beavers tomorrow, I think. A lot of us were figuring that kind of thing. Yeah.
The Beavers. I do love a mascot. I do love a Beaver mascot. That was one of my I'm from Windham, Connecticut. Our high school's mascot was the Whippets. Which is just a little
racing dog. That's a dog, right?
Yes,
yeah, okay.
A little racing dog. It's also something else. and then the Wyndham Tech, it was the Beavers. They were like the Mighty Turtles at one point, but then they got made fun of for being too slow, and they changed it to the Beavers because they're industrious, and that's why you're at a tech school.
Charlie, do you remember where the Cajun Cannon mentioned there was a Penguins team?
Youngstown State.
Yeah, Youngstown State, where it's not cold at all.
Where is it? Is that Ohio?
I don't remember where it was. I do remember that Youngstown State was the team that played against the Detroit Mercy kid that was trying to break Pete Maravich's D1 scoring record.
Right.
And so
It's Youngstown, Ohio. I was right.
Where there are zero penguins.
Yeah, I don't think penguins are. I mean, they might have a zoo, I guess. Maybe that's their mascot is literally penguins they shipped in to live in captivity. I don't know where we're going with this, but
I want to jump in, guys. This texter 3495 said the Wally Pontiff Hall of Fame room is a must if you haven't yet been to Alex Box.
All right.
And guys, I guess we can check it out. Our first trip. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. I'm, being from the Northeast originally was, and still am, a huge New York Yankees fan, but definitely I think I've told this story before. When I was moving down here, a lot of my buddies were like, oh, I don't know how you're going to survive down in Louisiana. Nobody cares about baseball there. And it was so dead wrong.
Different kind of baseball.
Yeah, exactly. My first time being in the state, even, we stopped at a Denny's. And at the table, there was someone with a portable television, and they were watching an LSU Tulane baseball game. And I was like, I think I'm going to be just fine. And actually now, maybe it's because of being around it so much and not having Major League Baseball here, I kind of prefer watching the college game over the major leagues because it seems like it's strikeout or home run in the majors.
I kind of look at it. I enjoy it more for the same reason I enjoy college basketball a little bit more at times in the NBA. And it's because all the games are way more important. There's fewer games, and then the tournament is a lot of fun. It's unique. Whereas, like, basketball, the tournament is 7 games, and it goes on forever. Like, by the time the finals come around, I'm kind of bored of it. Like, I'll watch the Heat play the Nuggets, but it's the most boring series you could have possibly gotten, and the Nuggets are going to win in 5 games.
I was going to say, you think the gentlemen sweep?
Yeah, I think it's going to be – yeah, they're going to want to sweep at home, or they're going to win at home. So they'll be like, all right, you can have game 4
in Miami.
It's also
2 months. It starts in April and ends in
right.
June.
Right, it's a whole other season. Whereas the NCAA tournament for baseball is the best spectacle in sports, right? And then the NCAA tournament for baseball, it's this unique setup where you have all these host schools and you do these round-robin things, and it's a lot of fun. But then, like, MLB, it's like, again, it's a whole 7-game series kind of malarkey. And I don't know. Like, at least in basketball, they play better defense. in baseball, you just get more pitching changes, like we saw today, where you have four pitchers in one inning and you still only get, like, two outs. But I do enjoy college baseball more than Major League Baseball because of that.
Yeah, I'm thankful. And like I said, it's been too darn long for me have not to made a trip up to Alec Box Stadium, and glad it's finally happening tomorrow. Looking forward and seeing the Cajun Cannon at the stadium is going to be fun too. I'm sure Bobby's going to have a ton of stories as well over there and be mobbed by people in Baton Rouge. He'll have to be signing tons of autographs, I'm sure.
It's probably going to happen.
What do you think, Charlie? We're getting like an early start.
I think we're going to be seeing Oregon State tomorrow, guys, because this is kind of turned into a little bit of a blowout unless Sam Houston can come back. But no, I think it's going to be a great time. I'm really excited for it. But
is there going to be like that Tiger tailgating feel for a football game also for the regionals?
Oh, I'm sure, but I don't think we're going to be getting there necessarily early enough for that. I guess we'll see.
Wait, so are you saying the Beavers have gotten busy?
Oh!
The Beavers are in fact busy right now. They're up 8-2 in the top of the fourth,
guys.
Those
are some busy Beavers.
I wonder if they get the Buc-ee's franchise involved at all. The convenience store, like I usually stop in on trip to Orange Beach.
You're wondering where they have a giant inflatable beaver?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Back with more Sports Talk Monday. Talk to you then. I'm Steve, Jeff, and Charlie. Have a great night, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.